All right, welcome back to the podcast. Not a lot of news this week, so we're going to be talking rookies, going over some ADP, giving our initial takes on some of the guys, and I'm even going to give a little bit of my IDP takes, where I'd throw some of them into the fold here. So let's get into it. Class is interesting, that's for sure. We have done 5 mocks, compiled ADP. We're going to continue doing the mocks every Monday for sure, and whenever else I feel like it. So if you want to get in on those, send me a DM on Twitter. We have a group chat going for mock drafts. But welcome to Terrestrial Takes. I'm your host, Duchesne, joined as always by Nubs, double N, double B. How you be?
I'm good. I actually got to get inside some of those mocks. I haven't jumped in with you yet.
Yeah, I'd be glad to have you. Other people can run them too. It's not like just whenever I run them, but I run them usually Monday nights during the week and maybe one or two if I'm bored. Like I said, we've got 5 mocks done. They don't have IDP. I won't be running IDP mocks until Sleeper enters them into Sleeper, which they said won't be until closer to the draft. So, one, I can't do it, and two, it's also harder to do IDP mocks because not as many people want to do them, but that's something that I might plan to do, like get a group that want to do it and then say we're going to do it at this time because it's a little harder to do them, but I have my top 5 IDP rookies that I'm looking at in the first 2 rounds. After that, it kind of, you can just take your shot at anybody at this point, but first, we got some news. There's not really a ton. It's mostly just QB conjecture this week. We got Falcons GM. They don't even give him a name. I don't know his name either. Falcons GM declines to commit to Matt Ryan as 22 starter. You never want to back yourself into a corner, he says. Yeah, you don't want to back yourself into a Matt Ryan corner. I think they go with him though, right? Like, even if they draft somebody, you probably just send him out there for another year, don't you?
He's too expensive to do anything with besides stardom. Yeah. You backed yourself into your corner about 4 years ago.
He's going super late in drafts, deservedly so. I don't really even trust him as my QB2, like maybe as a QB3 like fill-in, but I won a couple championships benching him for like Taysom Hill at the end of the year last year. And it wasn't even a hard decision at that point. He was giving me negative points at some weeks. He wasn't able to get anything going. I do give him some blame. I don't know how much, if it's all of his fault or not, but he only had Pitts and Gage really. And Pitts with the one touchdown, he needs another quarterback. He can't do it with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan has always, I think, over his career, just never been a good red zone quarterback.
Matt Ryan is afraid to throw the ball in the red zone. And I was actually going to say this is how much Rodgers has been getting shit on this offseason for being too safe. Matt Ryan takes that to a whole nother level where he's so in avoidance of the turnover that he won't even take the shots he should take.
Yeah, I mean, and he still turns it over.
Yeah, because then Rodgers, he gets under pressure. He gets under pressure, and then he fucks it up.
Yeah, at least Rodgers doesn't. Yeah, that's just not good words to hear from your GM. You don't want to back yourself into a corner. You did. You already did.
Mm-hmm. You've committed.
All right, what pick would you send for Matt Ryan right now?
See, I think this is an interesting conversation because when teams are out of it towards the end of the season before the fantasy season is over, I think it's a really good time actually to send offers out for guys like Ryan because you can get him at a discount right now.
I think you can get him at a discount right now. If you're expecting to be, if you're expecting to make a run for it, you won't get the contender tax that you might in week 10 or something.
Yeah. And it's a little, for me, it's a little bit difficult because this is about the time of year I try to stop trading away current year draft picks because I feel I'd rather be on the clock making that decision than off the clock. So I would really need to look at something really cheap to do it. Otherwise, I'm just motivated to hold the pick.
Yeah.
So what I would trade is probably a really late third at best at this point, just because I'd rather see what's there. And then if he wants to negotiate at that point, we can do it.
Yeah, I'm looking at like a little higher, maybe 306-ish. Doing mocks, you kind of you learn the rookies a little bit more, and you kind of just doesn't make you better at figuring out who's going to be good, but it just it helps you figure out what you actually feel like, what you think is who you like and who you don't, where you think drop offs are, and it makes you more in tune with what these picks are worth, in my opinion. Doesn't mean you're right, but it gives you a better feel. I would think around 305, 306, if, like, to get a deal done. I mean, I would love to send a 310 or something if I could. Another quarterback. We got another not very good quarterback, but he was better for fantasy, and he's one of your guys, so I guess I shouldn't pile on. Chris Ballard of the Colts GM. Carson Wentz decision. We're not there yet. We are not there yet. Is his contract up or...
I believe it was a one-year deal.
I cannot stand NFL.com auto-playing videos when I'm trying to look at stuff. It is
a big problem with this, though, is that the owner came out pretty quickly after the season came out about their intentions of how they want to handle Wentz. So when the owner comes out, he's got final say a lot of the time, depending on how much of a meddler the owner is going to be. So we'll see, but it didn't seem like it was very, very positive at the end of the season for in terms of their experience to finish off the year.
Well, he's absolutely going to get a restructured deal. There's no doubt about that. No matter where he goes, if he stays there or not, he has zero dead cap. But if he stays without restructuring, he's got a $26 million cap hit, and you're not going to pay that. No one's going to pay that. Not when you have an out for zero dead money.
It's like the Aaron Jones contract after this year goes up to $20 million.
Yeah.
Like it's, you just know it's done.
With any dead money?
No, I believe the last dead money is this year, unless it was $3.5 million is the dead money next year. I could have misunderstood what I was reading.
Yeah, we were going to talk about Aaron Jones, but I mean, while we're on that, I think we might have talked about it last week, but if Devontae Adams leaves and Rodgers leaves, don't buy into the Aaron Jones one more. Like, that's the time to get out. I'm in on Aaron Jones now because he's so cheap and no one wants him. But when everyone starts saying, well, that's all they have, they're going to feed him the ball, that's when you get out. That's when you get out, because that's what we did talk about this. Defenses know that's all they have.
I also know that this is going to be the year the Packers actually draft a wide receiver after everything's over.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at his contract now, and he's actually got that's tough. He's got 9.5 in dead cap after this year, but the cap hits 20 mil. So, like, when you're talking like Kenyon Drake, he's got like a $5 million dead hit and an $8 million cap. So people are saying that he's a cap casualty. No, he's really not. You're not going to pay him $5 million to not be on the roster when you could just pay him $8 million. NFL teams surprise us all the time. It would be stupid. And teams sometimes are. That's a whole different ballgame. You're going to take $10 million dead cap to get rid of him, or you're going to pay him $20 million. So he might get a restructured. I don't know. That's a funky situation with that contract, actually.
That's more guaranteed money than I remember.
Yeah. So Carson Wentz, anyways, bring it back around. I wonder when they're going to get there. So league opens March 14th. And then free agency soon after that. I don't expect them to be players in free agency. I don't know what there is. I didn't prep maybe much for this. Receiver.
Could be maybe receiver. Maybe offensive line.
They really need a receiver.
There's not that much depth, though, in this class, the free agent class, for them to just go out and start throwing money around. Decent corners, you know, wide receiver is the deepest position, and I think there's some centers. That's about it.
And the big thing is that these receivers are probably going to get tagged, which is going to thin it out even more. And then it'll just raise the price because it'll force them to have to trade if they want. Quick side comment about comments. I wasn't getting some comments last week. I don't know if they're putting them on Twitter or not. I know Levi said I looked like, was it Richard Branson? I forget. Watch us on Twitch at Duchesne's underscore on or on YouTube at IDP Army stuff. Like if you watch it there and comment there, I'll get them up and I'll throw your comments up here. I'm all about the engagement. We can use all we can get. All right. So, but thank you anyways for watching. So, and if I don't acknowledge your comment, I'm not ignoring you. It's just not showing up on my end. Another quarterback. So Tom Brady. Is he retiring or not? I mean, I knew this was going to happen because the dude just needs the attention. He's retired. I don't think he comes back, but the whole of the talk is he probably will. And so Bruce Arians today on whether he would allow him to go to another team or work with him. And he said, nope, bad business. it's not up to him anyways. It'd be up to the GM. He's not the GM. Thank God. I can't imagine Bruce Arians as a GM. They're not going to make it easy on him, though. I wouldn't think if he comes back and wants to, you know, go somewhere, they have his rights. So they'll have to trade. A team will have to trade for him. And I don't think they'll give him up too cheap. And speaking of not giving him up for too cheap, I offered $310 for him yesterday in a super flex and I got rejected. I was like, the dude's retired.
Come on. Those are Matt Ryan prices.
Exactly. It's Matt Ryan price. Like I was surprised. No counter, nothing. Like I had $307. I don't know if I would have given it, but he didn't even want that. So I'm just like, what do you want for him? Jesus.
I'm not risking that retirement. I'm probably going to move him for a pick.
Yeah. When he comes back, I'll totally get a late second. So I didn't think about this beforehand, but if he comes back, I mean, where is he gonna go? San Fran is the top.
Oh my god, yeah, I was gonna say San Fran. I
just can't imagine that. Like, and then Trey Lance would still be a top 10 dynasty quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny how much hype he still has. Not saying he should or shouldn't have it, but like for a guy that like really couldn't get on the field and in a situation that was like do or die, there wasn't even any sort of package even for him. Like, I think that speaks a lot more volumes than people want to admit.
No, NFL teams just don't work on the timeline of fantasy people. But Jordan Love is dog shit. He probably is. I like to draw the parallel because it's just, it really pisses people off.
But think of all the players that he's going in front of that actually like have proven to be worthwhile assets, and he hasn't. He just hasn't.
Yeah, he's still being bought at close to his ceiling. I mean, he went 110 in my recent startup, and vet talent fell in that. I'm not going to speak to all startups going on. That was the only snake draft I've done. I've done one auction with you, so it's kind of harder to tell how much vets are falling. But I bought it on youth and it turned out to bite me in the ass a little bit because vets fell so hard. I couldn't believe it. But that's a sidebar. We have one more QB note to get to. And Dak Prescott had a cleanup surgery on his non-throwing shoulder. So, I mean, fade, right? Cringe. He's looking at you, Dynasty Coach A.
See, I think about this and I wonder if it's more, obviously, if it needed to be cleaned up, there was something wrong. But it could be, in my opinion, something even more psychological based afterwards where he just maybe feels a little bit more comfortable because he had issues getting through progressions last year. And it could have been a confidence issue with his thought process that he could get throws to where they needed to be and on time or correct velocity, all that stuff. It could really impact his mental game and it might be very beneficial. Or there could be something wrong. I don't know.
He also had a tender throwing shoulder, though, too, for a little bit, and he missed a week because of it, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's talk that he might miss more because I think it happened right around the bye week. So I wasn't actually sure until I read this just now that it was his non-throwing shoulder he didn't have surgery on. And I don't have the news article up, but another quarterback story is Joe Burrow is electing to not have surgery and to just rest his knee. And that's the first thing I've really seen about it. I know we talked about it last week. About not seeing about Joe Burrow, all I saw was like a sprain, and sprains usually don't require surgery. Am I wrong?
I've never had a sprain that required surgery. Yeah. Unless it's like a very, you know, ferocious one. I'm not using the right word, but
I guess about Burrow though, like that's something that's kind of worrisome, because if he's not going to have surgery, what if it flames up in the season and he, like, then he might need surgery and you're going to miss the season.
We've seen this before. We don't like this.
No, I mean, it's a baseball thing, and I'm not even the biggest baseball guy, but like Chris Sale elected to not have surgery and he missed like 2.5 years instead of one. I mean, it's just something, it reminded me of that.
Who was the wideout that did it like 2 years ago?
Michael Thomas just did it last year, didn't he?
Well, it was Thomas, but there was somebody else that they would have been. It was like maybe DeSean Jackson, maybe.
I don't know.
They were out for like a couple weeks, and then they didn't get the surgery. And then had they done the surgery, they would have been like ready for week 3 or 4. And then they played like a week and they were out for the rest of the season.
That sounds like quite like DeSean Jackson. that's really it for news items. The juices are about to get flowing as the league turns over. We get franchise tags in, we get free agency rolling, but this week was all mea conjecture. I think ready to talk some rookies?
Hell yeah.
All right, let's kick it to the main event.
It's time for the main event.
So, we're talking rookies. We didn't really iron out exactly what we're going to be talking about, but we have, like I've mentioned numerous times, we got ADP from 5 mocks, and so we're going to be going through that, giving our thoughts on the quarterbacks tonight, at least the top 4, because those are the only ones you should really worry about right now. I mean, all you hear is how bad this quarterback class is. Like, I think it was Matt Miller for NFL was saying, like, more teams have talked to me about Trubisky this week than the rookie class. That should tell you everything. And, I mean, that's just misdirection season for you. poor Mitch Trubisky. He's getting the Mac Jones treatment of last year. Mac Jones, 3rd overall, right? There's 4 quarterbacks to worry about in this year's class. And then after that, don't take them until, like, the end of the 3rd. I'll pull up the ADP in now, I suppose. So the quarterbacks are Malik Willis, Sam Howell, Matt Corral. I think I say Coral, but that's because I stand in solidarity with coral, and because global warming's causing our reefs to bleach themselves, and we're going to be out of sweet coral reefs soon, dude. But I think it's Corral. I understand. And Kenny Pickett. Those are the 4. All right. Don't worry about Desmond Ridder. All right. 301. That's no good. Just like him. Carson Strong. I want none of that. I don't want any of those guys. I might take a flyer on him like late 3rd, but just I'm gonna go position player. And maybe this will change. Like, the only thing that'll change it for me is if they get a decent spot or capital and they fall. Then I'll take him just to trade him, because I'm sure someone else will like him. Like if you have a Pittsburgh fan in your league, just take the quarterback and he'll give you a daddy's home. Mike said this. I'll sell him for the whole load or something. Like, you know that they'll send the wagon for you. So let's talk quarterbacks for a quick minute here before we really dive in. Do you have your ranks of the 4 or the order you like them in?
I think it actually goes 5, but I don't really have them ranked, because I don't like, if you were just picking quarterbacks, I don't have one I feel comfortable enough for, be like, yeah, this is my 101. Now for fantasy, you could argue the Malik Willis rushing upside, but like, I'm really not comfortable with how he throws or the level of competition he played against to really even make me excited.
Don't look at the helmet, dude.
He reminds me a lot of what I saw from Philip Walker a couple seasons ago when he was in that league that starts with an X.
PJ Walker?
Yes.
Okay. Philip is a little too formal for me.
Okay, so PJ Walker. But like, there is some fluidity to his game. Obviously, he can rush, but you know, he's only 6 foot. He wasn't really the best passer, and that's not like an easy thing to change. So I'm not really in on Willis, but I can understand the argument for fantasy upside based on the rushing. But as a passer, I just think he's so far behind.
What makes you say that he's not the best passer or he's behind as a passer?
Well, he's got bad footwork. There's a lot of plays that I don't think you can replicate that you can show as highlights. But good luck trying to do that on an on-schedule offense or even on a regular basis where you're just doing out-of-this-world things to elevate your team. And I just don't see him as the guy to do that.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I was just more interested, and I'm sure maybe the listeners would be more interested into why you might be down on Willis. I've got Willis as my 1A and Howell as my 1B, but because of that, I'm going to end up with probably a lot of Howell because I'm not going to take Willis in the top four picks. These are my tier two of rookies, like 104 to 106. I have a pretty clear tier, and I think most people do 101, 102, 103, Hall, Burks, and Wilson. But if you look at the ADP, a lot of people are taking Willis as number two. That's as high or low. The highest he's been drafted is second, and that's been numerous times in three of the five mocks so far. It's been pretty consistent, and the latest he's gone is six. Whereas if you look at Sam Howell, the earliest he's gone is seven, and he's gone as late as 15, 203, which, I mean, that's just butter. again, if you want to look at this ADP as I add to it, or you can do whatever you want with it, really. It's in my link tree, at Duchesne's _ in my bio, like where all my links are. You can also look at last year's. This is the pre-draft ADP. I'll fill it until the NFL draft, and then after the NFL draft, I'll have a new sheet. And then I like to compare and contrast the two, see who like the biggest risers, fallers are of after the NFL draft. You're not so high on Howell though either. Is that right?
I mean, I'm not really high on any of these quarterbacks, and I'd rather take a lot of the receivers and put the potential of the running backs over them. And I lean towards like late first, early second even as like the beginning of me trying to grab one of these quarterbacks. Howell, I think, has a decent potential floor due to the rushing, because I feel like he does a lot of that under control, but I don't think he's a great passer. He reminds me a lot of like a combination of like Case Keenum in terms of limited throwing ability and Taysom Hill, where he's more interested in pulling it down and running. Obviously he threw a lot when he had NFL talent around him, which means that they were way better than most of the defenders that they were ever playing against. So it made it pretty easy for Howell, but Howell's never been a guy that's like gotten my attention more than like, I think. Okay, so because this year he laid that rushing attack on real hard, where he wasn't doing that years prior, and to me it seemed like he was going to be more of a turnover machine where pressure was really going to eat him up. But because he showed his ability to rush and kind of look that way, he'll probably turn the ball over less, but I don't think it improves his passing. But because of the rushing, I think it gives him a decent floor. Like I wouldn't be surprised if Howell turns out to be like a 17-point scorer at the quarterback position. But also, that could also mean he's scoring 17 points a game and also not good at being quarterback too.
Yeah.
So I see that that's more likely, in my opinion, his outcome. So he's probably someone that's worth the chance at starting if you need a quarterback. But there's so much more upside in these other position players that I just want to take every time.
Yeah, so Malik is my... Not Malik. It is Malik. I get his name mixed up with somebody else a lot. Some like no-name NBA player. But anyways, Malik Harris, that's who I mix it up with. Malik Willis is my 1A because of the upside. And I like Howell because I think he's got a pretty safe floor, actually. He ramped up the rushing attack this year, but that's because he lost Javonte Williams and Michael Carter and Dyami Brown, Daz Newsome. In the passing game, I think he's going to be fine. I don't know how much of a ceiling he has, and I don't expect him to run a ton, honestly. Like, I think he'll be one of those guys that will run it like when he can, but he's not going to be looking to do it, and I hope not. I hope he won't be looking to do it actively. because that means you don't trust your arm or you're just nervous back there. I think he'll do well if he goes to a system where he has a decent running back or a running game, because I think he does well with a good running game. I mean, that's not much of an analysis. Most quarterbacks do, but I think he would really thrive with it because it would just take more pressure off of him. But I think he throws well to the running backs and, I mean, running RPOs. He can excel with that. So I like Howell, and I just like where he's going most of all. That was a hell of a stutter.
I think also the fact that he ran this year, it shows that he's not afraid of contact, which I kind of like, which means I think he'll get less rattled in the pocket as long as he's not on some sort of turnover streak, because that, you know, that will kill anyone's confidence, where he'll still be able to stand in and, you know, he'll look. I just don't think he has the chops passing wise to be anything special. So that's where I see kind of the limited upside. But like you said, he can do it. I just don't expect him to do a lot of it. But I think that it raises the floor. You're muted.
Agreed. Thank you. I was trying to do something cool with the frames and didn't work. Live entertainment, unless you're listening to the pod, and I hope you enjoy. So I got Corral at 3, or I guess 2, because they're 1A, 1B, but he's my third quarterback for me. And he's kind of down in my tier 4 of total rookies. And I mean, I like where he's going, because I have him at 112, but that's without IDP entered, but he is my 112. So I'd be happy to get him there at 112 myself. He's a guy, we were talking about it right before we started, that I don't know. I'll let you say, because it was mostly your analysis actually. So why don't you take it away?
You're talking about just Corral right now?
Yeah, Corral.
Yeah, I think he has great touch. I just don't think he has like the ability to put super great velocity on the ball, which means he's not going to be able to beat out a lot of NFL speed when it comes to like certain throws on the field. I think a lot of it has to do though, where when with that touch, like you could see some really fun plays that end up going deep, or the cornerback gets the defender, or the wide receiver gets the cornerback kind of in a wrong position. And there's a little bit of time that Corral has to get the ball in the right spot. And I think that's where you could see some chunk plays. I'm just really afraid of what he does underneath. So we'll see what happens. But
I'm more afraid of decision making. I like Corral. Like, I like him. And I guess I can't say I like the way he plays, because I think he's very brave, or he takes hits that I don't think he needs to. And he keeps plays alive to make plays, which like you like to see. But at the same time, you're like, it was like the old Josh Allen thing, which he somewhat got under control. Now, he's not making tons of mistakes as far as interceptions. At least this year, he had 20-5 TD to INT. He's always had a pretty good completion percentage. And it's a far cry from where he was in mid-October when he was everyone's 101, because he was lighting up non-SEC. He hadn't played the SEC yet, and he didn't do bad against them, but he definitely came back down to earth. And then he didn't break his ankle. I think it was just a sprain in the Sugar Bowl, I think. He got hurt anyways. And just watching more film on him, it reminds me of Tua a bit, where he just doesn't know how to take a hit. So it worries me. But I like him, and I really like him at his cost if he stays around the turn here or whatever, 112-ish range, late first, early second. And then a lot of people have Pickett, I think, as their QB1. I don't know. I think it's actually Willis mostly, but it's been a carousel of quarterbacks at the one position. I think the NFL likes Pickett the most, though, right? Like, he's probably going to be the first one drafted, right?
I think so.
Yeah, me too.
I like Pickett in what I see for the highlight plays, or like the good things that he does. And I have him grouped right with Corral. If I was going to be honest, I would probably, if I had kind of the same area of picks where they were kind of falling in the same spot in the second or late first, I may kind of split them to have risk on both sides. But there's a lot of things he does really poorly. Like, I think he's the best sideline thrower in this draft, like delivering balls to both sidelines. But he doesn't know what to do when there's pressure. But he's great at stepping up when there's a big hole, when it comes to no pressure up the middle, where if I'm defending him as a defense, I'm actually going to tell my defensive tackles to just defend the run. Don't give him a spot to step up and like run up the middle and just let our edge rushers just really mess him up. Because if he rolls left and he can't reset his feet, he can't throw the ball. If he rolls right, he can do some really special things down the field. But I also really he had 7 interceptions this year. And yep, based on just like the 5 or 6 games I watched all the way through, he should have had probably double that just in those games. A lot of his throws across the middle are late. A lot of them are actually deflected off defenders' hands, or he's throwing into double coverage really short with like not the best touch. So he does some special things down the field. And I'm actually rooting for him because I kind of like how he plays, but he's not complete. And there's a lot of things that he's missing that I just, another reason why I can't argue to take him over a lot of the position players.
Yeah, I'm not high on Pickett, but I mean, the biggest thing is like, why did it take 5 years? Like he was a third year as a junior. He'd already started his sophomore year. So it was his third year and he was dog water. He was not good at all. And then he had the COVID year. And then this last year as a 5th-year senior, he totally lit it up. Like, what happened? So while I don't like that I don't like to see that from a quarterback, at the same time, I can see why NFL teams don't really mind, because maybe he's just older and he could come in and possibly be NFL ready. And so I do think he is the first quarterback taken, but I don't know where he should go, because I don't think any of these bad teams, and I'm not one to say that teams should lose games at all, especially if you're have this was an argument we had, but especially if you're going to make the playoffs, but you shouldn't lose games. But as these top teams, I think they're really bad, and they have way more needs than quarterback or running back. So you can just try and build the team out this year, use a stopgap, and try and get into another good pick next year, and where there's a lot more talent coming out at the quarterback position.
100%. There's nothing wrong with building the house.
Yeah.
First.
Exactly. Same thing with running backs, man. All the best spots for running backs are the bad teams. And I know all of us in fantasy land just don't want to see it. Like, please understand, you don't need a running back. You need so much more than a running back. Those are the 4 that I want to talk about. I don't think Ritter is a thing. I don't think he's good. I would never take him at 301. If he gets like top 5 draft capital, maybe I'll take him mid second. yeah, I just don't think he's good.
Ritter played against like the worst cornerbacks I've ever seen, where his receivers just were able to give him wide open or big targets to throw at. He's very light on his feet, but he also has terrible footwork at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that leads to he throws a lot of balls behind, late, high. Like, he makes good intermediate throws, but on the sideline or deep, like he just is not it.
But the only thing I'm going to say is that due to that mobility, I feel a little bit better compared to like, no, I'm not saying better as that I like him more, but like the one piece of upside is that if he's able to kind of navigate the pocket nimbly and then do something else, or maybe run a little bit, but I don't think he's at all an NFL starting quarterback. I did my 5 though. I had Carson Strong. I just want to talk about him for 30 seconds. I think he's got good touch deep. He's got very, like, will you ever go play catch with your dad in the yard and he has this big wind up and like throws from like the arch of his back? That's kind of how Strong throws the football. I don't like his touch underneath. He throws behind running backs a lot, and I think that's a real big detriment because a lot of those are going to turn into pick sixes in the NFL. But I don't hate what I see from him. I just don't think I don't think any of these guys are like really good at all. And a lot of them are really actually like right around 6 foot, which kind of scares me too. I'm not saying that's Strong, but
it's Carson Strong.
At the 5th quarterback in my list, I would say around 301 or end of 2nd could be somewhere I look, but it's really going to depend on what's left on the board.
Yeah, I have Strong over Ritter, and I like to see that Ritter is going ahead of him at the moment. I think that'll change. I think NFL teams will like Strong more. It is only 5 drafts so far, and so things will change, but we're probably going to have, I mean, how many weeks do we have until the draft? Like 7, 8? it's end of April, right? So four it's and like, four.
I think it's the 26th.
Yeah. So we're going to have like 25 mocks entered into this pre-draft by the time we get there. So over the next week, this will probably change a little bit because Ritter has won 206, 18 where he went. And that's probably keeping him up a little bit because besides that, you see 25, 28, 27, and that's all 303, 305, like that range. So he probably is going to go later. I have Strong ahead of Ritter. I think Strong could possibly be a thing. I have nothing. I have nothing good to say about Ritter. And I thought he was a good college quarterback. Like I liked him in college, but that's just different. Honestly,
that's the biggest thing is that so many people want to look at the college stats or want to look out. Oh, look at him complete this pass in triple coverage. Those windows will not be the same. They won't, especially if you're completing it in triple coverage in the MAC conference or in the like Atlantic 10 or whatever's still out there, whatever Cincinnati plays in, it's trash. It's absolute trash. And if you're throwing into triple coverage, or maybe American, if you're throwing into triple coverage in the American, that means you cannot read coverage.
Yeah. So that's the quarterbacks. That's the main dish of tonight. I wanted to plug in sort of my top five IDP into here though. And then I wanted to kind of go over the rest of it. Like we're not going to give our ranks for wide receivers tonight or running backs or tight ends, but whatever really stood out in this ADP. But as far as IDP real quick, there's five IDP players that I'm considering right now in the top 24, because as good as they are, it's just harder to get offensive talent in fantasy. The only one I'm considering in the first round is Thibodeau. And full disclosure, I am an Oregon fan, so maybe it's a little bit of homerism, but I'm okay. I'll disclose it. I'm pretty good at being objective, I think. But I would consider Thibodeau at 110, 111. Like, I have Bell, London, Walker, Thibodeau, and Williams all in that mix. And I'd probably take Williams, Thibodeau at the end of that mix. But yeah, I think he's just such a difference maker at such a premium position for IDP defensive line. And he's just been an absolute stud every year in college, coming in and everything. After that, I'm not looking at IDP until the mid second at 204. I've got Devin Lloyd, linebacker for Utah. I think he's a linebacker one, but he's followed closely by the other two in Hamilton from Notre Dame, the safety, and Hutchinson from Michigan. Those are just those are probably all. I mean, Thibodeau, Hutchinson, and Hamilton are probably all top five picks in the draft. So that should tell you that's a good indicator for talent there. And talent really wins in IDP. And then
I want to see what Hamilton runs in the 40, because he's very, very smooth. And if he runs like a 4.4 or even 4.45 and he's that smooth, he's going to be a hell of a safety.
He's big too. And then the last one I'm looking at is N'Kobe Dean towards the end of the second. He's a little undersized. A lot of people are really high on him. I like him. And I don't, even though I have him as my fifth IDP player towards the end of the second, as much as you like him, I mean, where you consider taking him, like a hypothetical you. I see people are high on Dean, and I'm not low on him, but I just would rather take shots, like, because at that spot, you're looking at, you know, Mechie, McBride, Olave, and then Sky Moore. I would take him over Sky Moore and Zamir White, as much as I like Zamir White. So that's my five IDP players I would plug in there. I don't know if you have anything on IDP. No worries if not.
I don't. I'm just listening to the IDP guy over here.
Well, I felt like we needed to at least talk it for a second, because not a lot of people are talking about the rookies, and it's hard to, because Sleeper doesn't have them in, and it's hard. It's not easy to place them in. So that was my first rough draft. So I've got, once again, Thibodeau 110, Lloyd 204, Hamilton 205, Hutchinson 206, and N'Kobe Dean 210. Those are the five in my top 24.
I think it is something to point out. There were a lot of linebacker contracts that expired this year that I don't think will be re-signed. So there could be some pretty good opportunity, just theoretically based on the actions being taken by teams right now, There could be a lot of young linebackers available for fantasy.
One of the mock drafts I saw showed N'Kobe Dean going to Dallas so that they could put Parsons on the line. Thought that was interesting. So I guess we'll just go over anything that sticks out in this ADP to you. For me, what sticks out is the quarterback cluster at the end of the first is interesting. I expect that to shoot up towards the top as we get closer, especially after the NFL draft. We got Pickett 110, Howell 111, Coral 112. I would expect to see them 7, 8, 9. So it's not a huge, but it is. It's a big difference to go up and from the late first to the mid first. I mean,
it's just a big difference for 112 as well to be able to, just based on this ADP, to get Bell, Williams, or maybe Walker.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, just try trading from 111 to 17. It's not easy. It's not cheap. I traded, you might roast me, but, and I don't need to give context to, you know, frame it. I traded Bateman and 201 for 108. I paid. I'm okay with it. But that's what it costs. It costs something like that if you wanted a done deal. I might have overpaid a little, but I'm trying to get a legit wide receiver one. I have my hesitations about Bateman as much as I like him as a player. And then the other thing that really stood out to me was Mechie going 212. That's just really low, I think. You got anything that really sticks out to you?
I had two. You want to scroll back up? One is I liked London a lot, and I didn't think that it was consensus that he was going this high. Now, I know that there have been, so, you know, you'll listen to one podcast or one person talk, and they might have him top three, and you're like, oh, he's got this guy top three. But I feel like he's kind of climbed the last probably month. I think he's climbed almost like five spots based on this ADP, which kind of surprises me. And I do think he's a good prospect, as well as I honestly, I think Bell and Pickens should be a lot closer together. I understand that it's going to be preference on the type of wide receiver a team wants, as well as the type of wide receiver a fantasy owner wants. But I think the upside for Pickens should drive him up. And I don't know how great Bell is going to be. I know a lot of people have him top three at the position, but I think those two should be much closer.
Yeah, I expect them to get closer when that quarterback jump happens, which I expected to. That'll jump him over Bell and bring him closer to Pickens. I think draft capital will play a huge part for Bell because I'm high on Bell myself. I like him at 109 personally, but I can see teams fading him, which then I'm just not going to take him at 109 because he'll be there. If he's drafted in the third round, he'll be there at like 205. Like people are going to fade him pretty hard, and I'll still be in on him, but it'll be a bit detrimental. John's puking at something. I think that's a puke. I don't know what he's puking at. I missed the comment earlier. It was like 10 minutes ago. So
wait, is that even him? Cause it's spelled monocle is spelled wrong. Monoclay dynasty.
Monoclay. Monoclay. Now that my boy Rip's giving me is that a Duchesne's thumbs up? I don't even know where he got that. That might not be me. That might be our friend Kyle. Rashad White. People are really high. Not really high. He's going 205. He's somebody that I'm not just, well, I don't know much about him. I didn't watch him a ton. I know that he's a big athlete and like very athletic. Big athlete, very athletic. Love the analysis. That's why you're listening, everyone. I'm surprised to see Pickens at 202, though. I'm surprised to see Olave at 201, but he's probably going to get first. There's a lot of mocks that have him at first round capital, and I think that's just high NFL wise.
Even second round capital, I think that helps Olave because what it does is it reinforces his decision to come back to school, and I think that's a big deal. That's one of the appeals, though, about the second round is there's going to be such preference picks at the end of the first and like close, like 7, 8, 9 can be really sweet. If or not even 79, but like maybe 9, 10, 11 could be really sweet if more quarterbacks go like we see here, which I don't really expect in a lot of my leagues to be that way. I think that they're not going to be as valuable or as looked at as valuable. So I think that drives a lot of the quarterbacks in the second round, as well as like the positional opportunities when it comes to running backs this year in the second round. There could be some fun lottery tickets to take there too, that you could see a big value jump even before the season starts.
Yeah. I agree. I think I'm holding Zamir White at 211 right now. Not many people are high on him. I like Zamir White, but I'm going to start refraining from taking Zamir and see if his ADP drops a little bit. I don't want to be, you know, fudging the numbers, so to say.
I also think that, like, if you have a guy that, like, loves McBride in your league, I won't be surprised if he's 201, where if there's such a, in their mind, a difference in McBride versus the rest of the tight ends that they just got to lock him up. That won't surprise me either. And I look forward to all, like, the Damian Pierce type of players that get this random hype based on not production and, like, very limited film, where they have like these, like, third party analytics coming through, where if they get spiked up the board too, that'll be really interesting.
Yeah, I think Pierce is a big candidate for exactly what you're talking about. Same thing with Aljair. I like Aljair personally. We're gonna talk more about these late targets later as we get into the process, because we're still learning ourselves a little bit, like all these diving deeper into these prospects.
He's higher than I thought he was going to be.
Me too.
Because I was thinking he'd be like 308, 310, and that's a value too.
Yeah.
So,
like, 304 is kind of where I would be considering taking him, and I thought I was higher on him. Mm-hmm. It turns out to not be.
And I'd probably take Ford over him.
Yeah. Where's the other guy? McCormick. I don't even see him here.
Also, did we pass over, I'm going to forget his name, the North Dakota State wide receiver that's been having a bunch of buzz?
Yeah, Christian Watson.
Okay.
208.
I totally missed him.
Going after,
I was going to say, where is he going?
Yeah, he has a high of 204 and a late of 302.
Man, people really like Sky Moore.
People really like Sky Moore. There was that, I think, was it Peter Howard said, like, he had him as a first round, and then you rose like Jesus on Easter.
Wow. There's so many more talents that I want to take over him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, too. You're right. Mechie at 212 is just crazy to me.
That's right now. That is the value going on in drafts. Like, by far, no doubt in my mind. Like, I'm not even the biggest Mechie guy, but to go at 212, like, I know he has a torn ACL, but he should be like 205, I think. Yeah. He should be 205, 204. He should be in the conversation. I know it's I'm gonna like naysay, like, oh, he only tore his ACL, but if he didn't tear his ACL, like, he was like a 112 201 type of guy. He was with Olave and Pickens.
Yeah, and there's, I just, you probably feel better than, you know, certain, some of the smaller school guys, or even just like small guys themselves, that you don't really know if what the role is going to be, if it's going to even be consistent or anything like that, where you've seen at least some pedigree from Mechie.
Yeah, agreed. Nick, I'm not streaming on Twitch. I'm streaming on StreamYard, so I can't hover over the emotes, but thank you for that. That's my Twitch mod, the GOAT, Rip Narsty. All right, anything else on the rookie ADP or quarterbacks? We're going to be talking running backs. We're going to be talking wide receivers. We're going to... This is a long off season. This is what we do. We talk rookies. So this was our first impressions on quarterbacks and ADP and where I would throw my top five IDP into it. You have anything else on this shit?
No, I think I'll hold my feelings for the actual positional discussions.
Yeah, agreed. All right. I guess it's about that time. Do you have a gripe of the week?
I don't, but I will tell a story. Okay. I have a big pile of dirt outside the front of my house because we finally have started work on replacing the entire plumbing system in my house. So I'm not griping, but I'm griping at the same time.
Yeah, it's a pretty shitty situation. Right? Come on, I'm better than that. My gripe of the week is with PayPal. They won't let me link my bank account, so... DraftKings, I withdraw my winnings, because that's what I do. I win. I withdraw my winnings and into PayPal. And then in PayPal, it won't let me link my bank account. So I have to instant withdraw it, which doesn't sound bad, except that they take a cut every time. They don't take a cut if you link it to your bank account and it takes 2 days or so to get there. And so they're skimming my winnings, those thieves. So I'm going to start getting checks. That's my gripe. What do you got for any highlight? Anything good?
Your hat says good, doesn't it? I didn't prepare for this. Yeah, this is actually it's a good golf. It's a YouTube influencer brand. It's one of the brands we actually work with.
It's a good hat.
I'm the procurement coordinator for. So we do all the ordering and the POs and verification and payments and all this stuff. So
cool.
I don't really think I have highlight this week. Not in a bad way. Just it's so early in the week.
Okay. Well, my highlight is I had to do a drug test for my job that I'm getting yesterday, and they sent me an email and was like, yeah, it has to be today by end of business. So I went there and turns out you needed an appointment and there were no appointments left. So I was freaking out because this is a big job. And this lady comes out. She had like a Latino accent, you know, this old sweetheart of a lady. And she's like, no, I take care of you. And she took me in and there was some troubles like with my identification stuff and she helped me out. She stayed late and I don't know her name, but that's my highlight. That sweet old lady.
She hold the cup for you too?
No, but I gotta say, I've taken some drug tests in my day and they've really amped up like the way that they do it. They have like chemicals in the toilet. You can't flush. There's a lockbox. You have to take everything off. So good thing I had clean piss. There's a lockbox. Like, well, not everything, but like your jacket and your empty your pockets. And yeah, you get like 3 minutes. Otherwise you're kicked out.
So what's like the chemicals in the toilet do?
I don't know. I really don't know. I didn't ask. But yeah.
Sir, you're depositing a foreign substance into our toilet.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to
flush. I almost flushed too, just out of instinct. I was like, oh shit. But I think that's about it. Anything else for the people?
No, we'll just have to see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll see you next Tuesday. So thanks for listening. Subscribe to our Patreon at IDP Army. Get that money from my bank account so I can win more money. You can follow along at Duchesne_. See you later. Peace.